Today on Fox News, Trump advisor Kellyanne Conway responded to the question of why the president hasn't remarked on the sexual misconduct allegations against Alabama Republican Senate candidate Roy Moore, but tweeted that a sexual harassment allegation against the Democrat Al Franken was really bad.
Well, Al Franken was a brand new news story yesterday, and the president weighed in, as he does, on the news of the day, often enough. The Roy Moore story is 8 days old, and the president put out a statement during his Asia trip on that. And since then, our press secretary has spoken on behalf of the president by saying that he believes the people of Alabama will sort out what to do with Roy Moore and with that election.
The firestorm over sexual harassment by politicians and sexual misconduct by politicians almost overshadowed the other big news out of Washington this week. Votes by the House and a Senate committee to advance the largest tax cuts in decades, which critics say benefit the wealthy. Our Friday Politics Roundtable joins us now. Domenico Montanaro, NPR lead politics editor. Hi, Domenico.
Hey there.
And Jose Diaz-Balart, news anchor with Telemundo and NBC. Hi, Jose.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well. And let's start with some of these sexual misconduct allegations. President Trump said the Franken allegations are really bad, but he has not said really anything, despite what Kellyanne Conway just said there. He really hasn't said anything about the allegations against Roy Moore. Domenico, what's going on? Why is he being so silent on this?
Well, I don't know why he's being so silent, but we do know that he is. We know that there's a big difference between what the president tweets and what he leaves to the press secretary to say on his behalf. And certainly if he wanted to weigh in on Roy Moore and take a firmer stance, then, well, you know, if he did these things, if these allegations were true, then it would be problematic, and leave it to Sarah Huckabee Sanders to say something rather than he himself coming out. I mean, he remarked on the UCLA basketball players that they should thank him for helping get them out of a potential prison sentence in China. So if he wanted to weigh in, he certainly could have.
Well, you know, Jose, we're wondering if we're in another moment of time where we're thinking about another moment in history. You know, President Trump, as a candidate, he bragged about groping women. He was caught on tape bragging about it. You have another president in recent memory who also probably can't weigh in on questions of impropriety because he also was accused of it. And I'm talking about Bill Clinton. And this is the storm brewing. You have New York Democratic Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. She was asked by The New York Times if Bill Clinton should have resigned over having consensual sexual relations with White House intern Monica Lewinsky. Let's listen.
Yes, I think that is the appropriate response. But I think things have changed today, and I think under those circumstances, there should be a very different reaction. And I think in light of this conversation, we should have a very different conversation about President Trump and a very different conversation about allegations against him than is currently than what has been had to date and what's currently being had.
Jose, talk about this interesting, complicated moment we're in.
Yeah, and yet she was with the president, the former president, and with Hillary Clinton when they were campaigning just last year. And look, I oftentimes think if there weren't evidence that just is undeniable, like the photo, you know, would things be so dogmatic?
Which photo?
The photo of Senator
Al Franken.
Al Franken,
for example, and the tape, the audio tape of President Trump with Billy Bush on the bus. If these things didn't exist, would we be so dogmatically? Would we see things so clearly? And I think that really is too bad because people who speak up and scream out that they have been abused in some way or another should at least be listened to with respect and sensitivity, regardless of what political persuasion they may be from. And I applaud my friend Ronan Farrow. In his work in
The New Yorker,
Yorker and certainly the New York Times and what he's been doing over, you know, in a series of articles to just show how difficult it is personally for people to speak out and then how many times they are, you know, bombarded with criticism and threats and intimidation over something they didn't ask for. I don't know. You know, I see the picture and I go, well, not much you can say. You can't say it wasn't me.
Is there a false equivalency going on here, though? Because the things that Al Franken is accused of is very different than what Roy Moore is being accused of.
True. And different than what, you know, Weinstein may be accused
right.
of. Everything is different. But that doesn't minimize that every single case that a woman or a man is intimidated or threatened, to that person, it is many times life-changing. I wish we just had more focus on listening to, with sensitivity, what people who are valiant enough to come out and say, this happened to me, and it happened to me by someone who is powerful and could even threaten my professional future, to listen to them.
Well,
regardless of...
Well, some people are, and some people are apologizing,
right.
And some people aren't. And Domenico, I just, to that point of, you know, how it intersects with politics, you know, that we have a top leader who maybe can't comment on it, that we are now having this sort of retroactive questioning about a past president. I mean, just, you know, where do you think this is going to go?
Well, look, I mean, also we should note that President Trump himself, there were more than a dozen women who came forward during the election to accuse him of sexual assault or unwanted touching or, sexual misconduct. We had to have a tracker during the campaign on our website to show – to break down – just who these women were, because there were so many. So I think we are at a different point in all of this when talking about the workplace and when talking about sexual harassment. Of course, we're talking about it being here at NPR, and we're in the midst of all of that happening right now, where the head
media
of our news division –
figures have suffered because
– I mean, the head of our news division had to resign. So there's plenty – to go around, and it's touching all industries.
All right. Well, we cannot go through this entire segment without talking about tax cuts, because it was a big week this week on that front. The House passed its tax cut plan with no Democratic support. A Senate panel passed its plan, which would mean that it heads to the full Senate maybe sometime after Thanksgiving. But, Jose, a lot of people saying this is just a tax plan that's going to benefit the wealthy. This is not what President Trump ran on, trying to help the forgotten man.
Yeah. And you know, look, I was just – I mean, there's this report in today's Wall Street Journal about how the House bill would, for example, eliminate tax breaks on bonds used by affordable housing developers, you know, cutting down, if it becomes law, 700,000 units over 10 years of affordable housing, something so desperately needed in this country. So, you know, it all depends, I guess, on what the final – bill looks like when it comes out of the Senate, and then it goes back to getting something. But I've got to tell you, there's a lot of concern here. On the other hand, it's you know, the president's big policy, if he gets this through, was a promise that he made.
Well, again, congressional researchers concluded yesterday that the Senate plan would actually raise taxes on people with incomes under $75,000 while cutting taxes for corporations and the wealthy. It led to a big fight in the Finance Committee. Chair Orrin Hatch pushed back against Ohio Democrat Sherrod Brown, who'd accused Republicans of thinking about the rich. Let's listen to a little. It went on for a while, but first Hatch, then Brown.
I come from the poor people. And I've been here working my whole stinking career for people who don't have a chance. And I really resent anybody saying that I'm just doing this for the rich. Give me a break. I get kind of sick and tired of it. True, it's a nice political play.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
it's not true.
With all due respect, I get sick and tired of the richest people.
Regular
in this
order,
country,
Mr. Chairman.
Getting richer.
It went on and on. And Domenico, your thoughts?
Sounds like Thanksgiving. you know, I mean, here's the thing, right? The Republicans right now are very close to passing this bill, and the real fight has only just begun, because there are some differences between the House and Senate bill that have to be reconciled in a conference. They want to try to push this through and get it done potentially by Christmas. That's their goal. So, you know, when you look at something like what Jose is talking about with the affordable housing credit, or you think about medical deductions, where you have parents of children who are disabled who write off a lot of their expenses, over 10% of their income, people in nursing homes who wind up using it because they're on fixed income. Once all of that starts to become part of the protest, part of the debate, there are going to be a lot of changes to this bill, and there's not a lot of time to get it all finished.
We've just got about a minute left, Jose, but I want to ask you a quick question. We've seen the news today that the CEO of PREPA, which is the Puerto Rican power company, has resigned, according to a spokeswoman for the governor. And, you know, this is the power company that was involved in the deal with Whitefish Energy, the Montana company with just two full-time employees. employees, which got a big no-bid contract.
Yeah.
But my question to you is, it's been many weeks now. Still, more than half of Puerto Ricans have no power. Has that been forgotten by the Trump administration or by officials?
You know, it's coming up on 2 months. Think about this, 2 months, and there are still millions of people that are living under extreme inconvenience, to put it lightly. And these are American citizens. These are people who have, in many times, you know, volunteered when this country has asked for volunteers to go to war and defend this country. And so the fact is that this is not that this is not on the front burner of all of our issues is an embarrassment to me.
Jose Diaz-Balart at Telemundo and NBC, and Domenico Montanaro at NPR. Thank you to both of you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.